Thank you, Janie. Our Old Testament lesson for today is from Isaiah chapter 58, verses 1 through 9. Shout out, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interest on your fast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose? A day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast? A day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own kin. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." And our New Testament lesson is from the Gospel of Matthew, the 5th chapter, reading verses 13 to 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I'm excited to preach on these two passages today. You know, most of the time I do a gospel or something. I don't preach a lot from the Old Testament. But this is too good. This is too good for us to miss. And I want you to be thinking about how your faith is going, okay? I have a feeling that you're here in this sanctuary worshiping today or listening online or on the radio today. You're taking this time because at some level you want to grow in your faith. You want to deepen your faith. And that's true for us who lead as well. We want to deepen our faith. You know, and there are some things. We like seeing the people. We like, you know, kind of shaking off, you know, the darkness of the world and coming into the light here. You know, it's a tradition, it's something that feels right sometimes. Everybody's got different reasons. But I think all of us, at one level or another, are at church, come to worship in the morning because we want to grow in our faith. And these two scriptures together give us some real direction in how to do that you may not know about. It doesn't get talked about enough. I don't talk about it enough. I want to know how it's going for you in that regard. You know, how's it going? How is your faith doing? Are you feeling like you are growing and going somewhere? Are you feeling kind of stuck? Are you feeling like that you're going backwards? You know, there are what we call seasons of the soul. You know, our faith and all that kind of ebbs and flows at different ways. Life is hard, and it can affect the way our faith grows or stays still. But this, about coming to worship, this passage talks a lot about what worship is. And you may not have seen it this way before. And so I want to start with our scripture from Isaiah. And just kind of explain a few things about Isaiah, the book of Isaiah. Isaiah is a book that was written at the time that Israel was taken into captivity in Babylon. And so around the 650 to 700 years before Christ. And it's really got kind of three sections. The first 39 chapters are when Israel is being taken into captivity and are crying out, God, why are you taking us into captivity? Some got left. Some were exiles. Some were what they call inciles. They didn't go to Babylon. And they, you know, that was where the Samaritans came from, was the people who didn't go to Babylon because they intermarried with the Gentiles. But that first whole 39 chapters of Isaiah is about being taken there. The middle part of Isaiah up to about Isaiah 55, from 40 to 55, is the prophet Isaiah while they're in captivity in Babylon. And that's called 2nd Isaiah or Deutero-Isaiah. And the part we're in today is 3rd Isaiah, Trito-Isaiah maybe. And 3rd Isaiah is from 55 to 66 chapters, and it's when they are allowed to go back. And so that's something you need to know. So now this is after they've been in captivity and they've been released from captivity and they're going back to be there with these other people. So they came back to their homeland to a temple that was in ruins, and they began to set up their businesses, rebuild their lives, and try to worship God again. But it's not working. There are hardships, there are famines, failed crops, droughts, and this sort of internal strife between the Israelites who left, the exiles that left, and the inciles who didn't leave and stayed. And so this third part of Isaiah is asking the question how God is present when there's so much misery, so much poverty, so much injustice, and so much infighting. And so I just want to read these first five verses. And this is God saying to Isaiah. He says to Isaiah, shout out, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of God. They did. And they ask me of righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why do we fast and you do not see? Why do we humble ourselves but you do not notice? Have you ever felt like that? That God just doesn't see you, that you're trying, you know, you're trying, and you're trying to do it right, and you're going to worship, but it doesn't seem to be working. It doesn't seem like God is there. It just seems like your prayers are hitting the ceiling and bouncing back. And that's the way they were feeling. And God is telling Isaiah, go to them and tell them why. And so what he's saying to them is, when you go to worship, you're serving your own interests. You're doing what you need to do. You're going to worship to feel kind of religious, to feel kind of good, and or maybe even to manipulate God, to say, okay, I fasted, so you got to do something, God. You know, I'm pulling the right lever, so I need to get you to do something. And so this, God is like really going to push them. So it's not enough just to go to worship and to do these things like fasting. And here's what he says, and it's so powerful. Is not this the fast that I choose? This is verse 5. A day to humble oneself. And he says, is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin. What they were doing is they were living the way they wanted to live during the week. You know, those who own businesses were abusing their workers. Did you hear about the Burger King places in San Francisco that the workers brought a lawsuit that they had been made to do all this stuff and not given breaks and come in early to turn on the fryers and all this stuff, and they weren't getting paid for it. And so the court said, yeah, you got to pay them for that. But people who hire other people have the choice to abuse them or not to abuse them, to be kind or not. And what really is at stake here, the total thing that's at stake, is the image of God in other people. That when you go out, and a lot of us don't own businesses, but when you go out during the week, the people you encounter, do you see the image of God in them? Whatever. If it's in school, it's other students. Like, you know, we all have people we just don't like. You know, they just kind of bug us, you know, they're annoying. But God, the image of God is still in the annoying person. The image of God is still in the person we really don't want to be with. And I have to think about that all the time. This person is made in the image of God. And those Israelites were saying, we can get God to do our bidding if we do fasting and we do worship, and then we act the way we want to during the week, it doesn't matter. And so this is what God says to him. Here is worship. And you may not have thought of worship this way before. But worship is in here, yeah. But it's when you leave here. Worship is what you're going to do this afternoon. It's what you're going to do Monday through Friday. It's how you're going to bring the light and love of God to other people. That's worship. It's the way you live your life. And it's in here. Yeah, it's in here and singing hymns, praying, you know, maybe listening to me. But it's also what we do the rest of the time. And I love when he says, here's the fast that God, the worship that God chooses, is to loose the bonds of injustice and to break every yoke and to share your bread with the hungry. We just have to serve God in our daily lives, not just on Sunday. And so what is the result of this if you do this? Now, this is key. And remember, I'm talking about us growing and our faith, all right? So remember, what is the result if we do these things? If we share our bread with the homeless, if we break the bonds of injustice? It's verse 8, it says, then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. There is a result to worshiping God in the marketplace, in the business place, in our schools, during the week, and not just in the sanctuary. Then our light will break forth like the dawn, and our healing will spring up quickly. And so that kind of brings us to the Matthew passage about letting your light shine. Doing those things. And when you see what Jesus is saying there, he says in verse 16, let your light shine before others. And what's the result? So that they may see your good works and praise you. No. They see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. And that's, man, that is the thing. How many people have turned away from God because of the way Christians have acted? How many people have been injured or hurt by people who claim to be Christians, and that has turned them away from the church or away from God? It affects the way we act during the week, affects how people feel about God when they look at us. And if our light is shining, they're drawn, they give God glory. And if we are abusing them, they turn off God. Rachel Head Evans has a great, this is part of her her book, Searching for Sunday. And she was asked to explain to a conference why millennials are leaving the church. She said, I was recently asked to explain to 3,000 evangelical youth workers gathered together for a conference in Nashville, Tennessee, why millennials like me were leaving the church. And she said, I told them, we're tired of the culture wars. We're tired of Christianity getting entangled with party politics and power. Millennials want to be known by what we're for, not just what we're against. We don't want to choose between science and religion or between our intellectual integrity and our faith. Instead, we long for our churches to be safe places to doubt, to ask questions, and to tell the truth even when it's uncomfortable. I explained that when our gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender friends aren't welcome at the table, then we don't feel welcome either. And that not every young adult gets married or has children, so we need to stop building our churches around categories and start building them around people. And I told them that contrary to proper belief, we can't be won back with hipper worship bands, fancy coffee shops, or pastors who wear jeans. We millennials have been advertised to our entire lives so we can smell a fake from a mile away. The church is the last place we want to be sold another product, the last place we want to be entertained. And so the question is, if you're going out in the world, you consider that worship, and Jesus says, let your light shine, how do you do that? And it's kind of a conflict because Jesus says, you are the light of the world. But later on, in John chapter 8, he says, I am the light of the world, doesn't he? And so what that means is that Jesus is the source of our light. And that light shines through us, and that's how we light up the world. I want to show a slide. It may not come through, and I feel sorry for people who are listening to it on the radio because you won't see the slide. But that is a picture I took, and that is in Barcelona, Spain, at a cathedral called the Sagrada Familia. And what that color is, the afternoon sun is shining through those windows, those stained glass windows, and it's lighting up everything. You know, at night you don't see that. Same thing, we got a beautiful window here too. There's light outside and you see all that. At night, unless there's a light on it, you don't. And that is what I think it means by let your light shine. It's not, we aren't the source of the light. It's Jesus that's the source. And Jesus shines through us. And that illuminates the world. And so you think about what you're going back to. If you're in school, you know, your friends that you're with, even your teachers that you're with, your family, you know, if you're working, the people you work with, the people you see as customers, how can you let your light shine? I know, you know, when I go through every Wednesday morning, I pick up country ham biscuits at Biscuitville and take them to my mom in Laurel Hill. You know, she grew up on them. She loves them. And that's my day to do breakfast. And so I just pick them up. And every single day I go in there and I order enough for whoever's there. Four country ham biscuits and a large coffee for my mom. And I drive around to pay for it. And the girl takes my money and she says, have a blessed day. You know, and it used to kind of, it's kind of weird, you know, the first time I ever heard it. And you know, what do you say? You too? You have a blessed day too? I kind of say you have a blessed day too. But I really believe she is trying to let her light shine. You know, instead of just saying, here's your money. You know, or just say, see ya, you know, whatever. No problem. That's the one I can't stand. No problem. She says, you know, have a blessed day. Somehow, figure out how to let your light shine, how to let the light of Jesus Christ shine with you. And the other thing that, you know, and you may not see this, in the original language of this Gospel of Matthew, when Jesus says, let your light shine. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. The you is second person plural. It's not second person singular. It's you. You. All y'all. It'd be great if there was a southern version of this. Y'all are the light of the world. You know, y'all are the light of the world. And what that means is as a church, not just as individuals going to work, but as a church, we need to be letting the light of Jesus Christ shine through us. And I can tell you, this session now, the elders in our church have got some plans for this year where we are going to share our bread with the hungry. And we are going to reach out to this community here. And we are going to work on injustice. And we are going to welcome people who have been excluded. And you can be a part of that as all y'all shine your light through the things this church is doing, to loose the bonds of injustice, to let undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and to bring the homeless poor into your house? And the session has plans to help us do that as a church you will have these opportunities to share your bread with the hungry and to bring the homeless poor into your house. You have the light of Jesus in you. As you leave this place today, as you go into, it's a dark world out there. As you go out into that dark world, let that light of Jesus shine through you. Be the reason people give glory to God, not the reason they walk away. I'm going to close with the last little bit that Rachel Held Evans said in this thing about why people are leaving the church. She said, people aren't looking for a hipper Christianity. We're looking for a truer Christianity, a more authentic Christianity. Like every generation before ours and every generation after, we're looking for Jesus. The same Jesus who can be found in the strange places he's always been found. In the bread, in the wine, in baptism, in the word, in suffering, in community, and among the least of these, our brethren. Let's pray together. Lord, we do want to grow. We do want to deepen our faith. Help us to worship you in the way we live. Give us eyes to see your image in people, even the ones who annoy us and get on our nerves. Help us to shine your light. Let your light shine through us to color everything around us so people will be drawn to you, not run away from you. Help us to do stuff that brings people to you. Help us as a church, Lord. Help us as a church to have the courage and the vision to reach out to our community and to share our bread with the hungry and to bring the homeless and poor into our house. We give all this to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.